Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, I-N-F-O. And today is Tuesday, February 18th, 2014. This is our 221 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with our amazing flowing dialogue. And occasionally we hear from Shaharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello. Well, yeah. We've been talking about the cold weather the East Coast is having. Michael said he's got air conditioning coming out. I could just open the door here and get cold. But icicles falling, and we're finally above freezing for a while. But nothing like Jay, who's up in Canada. So his houses, those buildings have to be built differently than here. And you just have to build for it. But people hear Michael's voice from around the world. New Zealand, everywhere, including all over. It's just, I like looking at how many countries come in and take a look or listen. And people are listening to hours, old hours and new hours. It's interesting to see all the hours listened to. It's a lot to host all that, all those MP3s, but we're working fine here. So hello, Michael.
Hi, Curtis. Still got cold weather.
Yeah, still got cold weather. Can't wait until it breaks. Finally, it's going to be getting warmer. I mean, it's the middle of February. It's going to happen soon. The ice is breaking loose. I can see the water's warmed up out there. And so maybe within a week, that'll all be gone, all that ice.
Okay, that's good that we have some more normal weather, but then again, there's some influences that are happening that have come forward, come true. Also, some indications in the past, which, you know, were indicating that we're going to look at some pretty cold stuff around the world, and that's pretty much what's happening now. Interestingly enough, there was a little bit of a hint on our move and ascent in terms of our technology, and that it will be essentially going through a transitional phase, and we won't be doing so much heavy industry as much as we did at one time, because modality of transport will be changing, and we're essentially not going to have to travel so much, but in terms of being a necessity, it'll be much more convenience oriented. But in any case, it'll be moving more toward the greener technologies, and even the technologies that used to be dirty are getting cleaned up. So that's kind of good in terms of where our planet is headed, being guided too. And had a note from Wendy there in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, I can read that.
Okay.
This is last Wednesday, she writes, "Dear gents, in recent broadcasts, both Michael and the Shaharon have been discussing the business and preparation of an impending event that Urantia is to be part of. Michael further expanded on the many neighbors from faraway galaxies being observed from our planet that have come to perhaps witness, participate in the unveiling of the impending event. And then in the last three lines, she says, "There is so much speculation about the impending event that has also been fueled by fear and error. If permitted, could the Shaharon shed light on the event so that fear, confusion, and error be removed from which I imagine to be an event filled with beauty, goodness, and truth? With greetings from New Zealand, Wendy." Thanks, Wendy, for sending that. And there is a lot of confusion. We're all a little in the dark for what this could be, since we haven't gone through it before.
Oh, yes, this is Theotaractic Sharon.
Hello, Sharon.
Yes, I've spoken before. I'll speak again. We have known and have been moving toward this over many, many eons of time. The problems that Granth faces today internally in terms of its global organization does and will have help from us. You see, confusion is one of the problems that free will and free opinion will do. It is that very thing which has caused a problem. The greatest difficulty was because we needed to remove our influences due to the fact that your planet, your consciousness had entered duality, both alignment and disalignment. As a result, the confusion persisted. But organization out of chaos is one of the high aspects of the first source. For out of nothing is. And all that you are will come to organization. And it is, in its sense, very close to being adjusted toward that pure an illuminated state of health and consciousness, healthy consciousness, one in which freely walks with and converses with the first source's dictates. Yes, the first source does dictate. Without that, there will not be the order of things. From its very primal state, the very fact that you are creatures of both time and space, and you have material substance that you can study and learn and understand. Then you can also interact with forces and dynamics that are within your space-time realm. Yes, you always find out that there are things that are very reliable. Yet, you seek to manipulate and to use these things for the benefit of oneself and perhaps the protection and the elimination, perhaps, of threat. Threat because you are functionally terminal. You have death. There seems, because of that, a disassociation with the prime. The prime is that most important realization of your ascension process to come into close proximity and grasp to your divinity fractal. Without it, you cannot ascend. Without it, you cannot freely become illuminated, and thus confusion is removed. Right now, there are many ideas of the ultimate truth. But the ultimate truth lies already implanted within every single being of sentient purpose, of free will, and an active mind or engagement with the First Source's divinity potential. I am not saying that your potential will become truly as great or as divine as the First Source. I am saying that you will have very many of the aspects that has given you a relationship to the both time-space organization and the very fundamentals of which you have built your society and the very science that makes many of these things that are modern in your society function. These modalities all function as an ascension process. Therefore, do not look at the technologies that you have been acquainted to and are becoming very much adapted to as technologies of your own creation. They are all part of the tools for your ascension as well as your divinity attainment. All of these things are given and gifted unto you. Your function is to associate your higher purpose in using them toward the attainment of an even higher relational aspect. As has been revealed before, even the manner in which we mind share with Michael is a form of a technology so advanced and so far ahead of you that you may think of it as paranormal or perhaps not even real. These kinds of technologies are already built within your structure. You are a living machine. Your functional body is a scaffolding very much designed for the ascension process. You move, breathe, you function within time, space, all toward the ascension process. It is not a process that stands alone. We are many of us familiar with the walk toward ascension and have by that attained with the Sharuns are known as your progress guardians, your destiny guardians, because we have walked the very path you walk now. You see, the very fact that we are material beings of a higher order, sharing functional abilities beyond that which you are presently functioning at, does not limit us to acquainting ourselves very much with your confusion. And we know the solution is one in which is many points to untangle, many points in which needs to be disengaged. And these things take time. The grand revelation is coming forth. But it is timed not by our standard, but by the standard which is divine, which comes from the first. And that timing we do not know. We only know that it is soon, and that there are many called from far ends through our portal into your very system, your solar system. There are others of living dynamic energies flowing close by that will be introducing much more into your realm. These introductions will take the form of personality engagement. Many, 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 many are coming who will personally associate with those who are attaining through hardship and toil, suffering. And many, you might say, troubles or trials and tests to choose divinity attainment, to touch the robe of the Royal One. This will lead many to the engagement of personal guardians of destiny. These who are personal guardians, many of which have already attained, have finality, and have great wealth of experience. They will choose many of you for various purposes. And all of you will not be people who have no hope. You will all be people who have hope through the engagement. It's about to happen. It has been happening, and it will continue to happen at a higher rate. The grand revealing will take place, surely, at a time when many whose minds and conscience will already understand that we are not alone. Many will gain further insight to their personal guardians. Some may even perceive them visually, others only in personality, and numerous synchronicities that verify the engagement with a celestial destiny guardian. In such a way, comfort will come to many. As spirit, the Mother Spirit is removing herself, she is not removing herself without allowing forth the personal guardians to seek out and find as many as possible. In this transition, in this time of transition, the move will not be so much as to look and to discover the first voice and center installed into the individual, the voice of divinity, the thought adjuster. Instead, there will be a more specific guiding individual and personality who will, on a personal level, direct and guide the individual, not only to the discovery of the first source purpose, but of their very purpose, their own human person purpose on this planet, and function as a functional being engaged in the progress of the ascension of the entire planet toward in full enlightenment. Yes, there will be many untanglings and many times in which long built up traditions will have to fall, unravel, and perhaps even find mutual ground and territory that upon it will be built a completely new understanding that will be required for the full adoption to take place. The citizens of the universe of eternal beings is made up of all beings who are aligned holographically to the one source, the first source. And in such, there is no need for divisions and decisive decisions of laws that are written and reinterpreted from perspectives that are manipulative. Instead, they're all in alignment with the first source objectives. But yet, there are things that may seem different or diverse or contradictory only because they are misplaced in the perspective. Once seen in proper perspective, the grand beauty of the entire universe of sentience will indeed be appreciated and fully embraced. The energies that will flow in will flow in through the portals of these many young and true beings of divine association and freely interacting with the energetics of the energy matrix. That energy is love. If there is another word for it, I would. But it is easy to use that word and raise love up to a point in which you will understand that it really is just a simple opening within an individual in which the very energy of the first source is able to flow. And with it, the character and nature of the Divine One and the Divine Nature extends itself into the planetary consciousness of Urantia. As a result, ascension moves. The untangling continues, and when it continues, there will be those who will choose wrong and will have to be disengaged with the primary purpose according to their own choosing. This is a sad thing. But not one who chooses truth, not one who chooses life, not one who chooses a first source, who chooses God, who chooses light, will be lost. There is no light within oneself except that that be the light of the first source and the energy of the first source. The entire structure of a highly civilized, highly technical aspect of the applied dynamics of the first source can be seen in which high technology as well as high being and presence and illumination is formed by the many civilians, you might say, of the universe family. You're so close and you will so easily adapt and make this most natural of all ascension steps. The choice is to realize simply that your attainment within the life that you have, the physical boundaries of the limitations of your life machine, your body, limit your progress within this time-space domain. But there are other technologies that you know not of that extend your being, your very soul consciousness, into a well-calibrated and adjusted instrument for the purpose of the continued divine contribution of individual personalities of divine guidance. You're so close, and yet as many as would want to say, look and see and realize that we are here. there is fear. Fear of losing one's own self and identity. But know this, that one's self and identity is lonesome. But when you have a sense that is unified under the first source, all lonesomeness and fear and dread is gone. It cannot exist. This is where your true ascension process finds its opening to the vast and wonderful road of higher life and living experience, and exploring so many things. And discovering so many more. This, Tariq, Tariq, Shahrin, I spoke to you, bidding you farewell.
Farewell, Sharon. I'm sorry to see you go. Wanted to maybe ask some questions about the this. What's going to happen when this event takes place? Are they planning on bringing that architectural world to the earth? Is that what we'll see? Do you think, Michael?
Do you think I don't know if that is going to happen in the near future. It's been prophesied biblically after 1,000 years, after the grand revealing. So the 1,000-year period of engagement of bringing the planet's civilization, I guess, attunement toward the entire universe, galactic, whatever, you know, dimension you want to give it, to be part of that higher family of universe conscious citizens, you might say. That is something that begins with what is about to happen, then extends itself to 1,000-year period, after which there will be a docking, you might say, of the New Jerusalem. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the New Jerusalem would remain distant. I think it might even become well observed, you know. Because it seemed like they wanted Cassini to take a picture of it, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I was at a birthday party over the weekend and talking to some people. And I mean, doesn't matter who you talk to, no one knows anything about that. About those images that Cassini sent back. It's not newsworthy in the news. They have to talk about Kardashians or, I don't know, all kind of things that just don't have much meaning to us. And it depends on what news media you listen to as far as what information you get. But well, they took those pictures and they're still posted on the internet. They're still posted on the NASA page. You can click on that and you can see that object out there, that huge sphere. Looks like it popped its top. When they heard Cassini was going to take their picture, they they did something. That whole white thing came out of the sphere.
A field of luminous energy.
Yeah, a field of energy they put out, and I'd like to know what that was.
Yeah, I asked about it, and I just used, you know, the term force field, you know, was always, you know, kind of concept, you know, term force field. And they corrected me right off. They said, that is not a force field. It's not a force. There's no force in it. It is a field, but it gives you a hint that they will not force themselves upon our planet, but they will engulf our planet in a field of higher love, morancho love, mocha, one in which things that we have to learn about. And apply. And once we begin to apply these levels of higher morancho personality, with the functional ability that is also applied, these levels of higher potential ability, which was dictated by Jesus Christ himself, he says, go and heal the sick, raise the dead, do all these things which I do, because you will do even greater. Not only in terms of what he did, but in the fact that there's duplications of his very nature. So that was one of the most fundamentally exciting parts about the celestial experience, and the fact that these alien beings function under the guidance of one Michael of Nebadon, universe creator, son, commonly known on earth as Jesus Christ. You know, and it's like that amazing. It's an amazing thing, you know, to have that, because there's so much that will be, you know, straightened out, but yet he will not, the Creator Son will not, you know, impose force. Yeah, he may impose a field, and that's where we're probably being led into this preparation, because there's, what I can detect is a change in the field of spiritual energies that if we align ourselves to, we'll begin to be able to do even more and greater. Not only in association and function with, you know, higher or beings of greater potential, doing things like healing the sick and things like that, which have happened quite a lot. But there are other realms beyond that that are going to be operational and open to us through this higher field as individuals begin to align. And this is more energy than what the mother spirit, which was a guiding spirit, which pushed us toward the discovery of the first source and the second source, the Creator Son. What we have right now is sort of a backing away, because the planet is, you know, coming to a very critical point, a critical juncture of I guess the steps that they are taking us on, you know, toward the higher realms. I mean, we are going to progress in the same old modality. For what purpose? For just running the planet? Just for what? Just to keep the engine of the economy going, because of civilization ticking along. But what is all of that for? This is where things will change. The understanding of what the whole process was for. You know, why is breath and life given to us, and the wonder of, you know, what is this higher purpose for? That is all part of this grand discovery.
Well, in the last so many years, however, since World War II, after they started putting fluoride in the water to make those American soldiers docile, and then now they're putting fluoride in our water, and we can't seem to get fluoride out of the water. At least we haven't been able to have the powers that be. I mean, I have well water. I don't have fluoride in the water. But here we have all the pharmaceuticals and whatever else is in the water. And then they're putting that other poison in the water called chlorine. And I don't know, the common person just can't really change that. I heard Alex Jones say yesterday he wants to sue the state or sue the city of Atlanta for putting fluoride in the water. For a while there were some people outside Atlanta just in a hunger strike trying to bring people's attention to it, but this has reduced the IQ, according to the reports, that 15% of the IQ will drop because of fluoride in the water and other poisons in the water. I mean, it'd be nice to hear Sharon say, oh, we're going to step in and we're going to stop your poisoning of your water and clearing up the mind of the human being. I mean, I'd like to know how to clear up our pineal gland, and that's probably what's been clogged by this fluoride, or they feel it is. And we need some clear-thinking people. And I was looking for Sharon to tell us about how they're going to unveil this and how, you know, what's the first sign that we're going to see? Or is that going to happen in 500 years from now? At times he said it was going to happen shortly, and then I heard within our lifetime. Wow, that's soon. And
but it's going to be a process of, you know, coming to grander awakening. Not so stuck in a mode of doing the same old thing the wrong way over and over again. Progressively, we'll be moving toward, you know, the plan. The implementation can be very dangerous if it is overdone. Can definitely look like a terrible invasion if it's done too quickly.
It'll look like an invasion? Well,
an invasion from the outer space guys.
Well, we've had many photographs of lots of saucers in the air at one time. Mm-hmm. But maybe they're referring to just covering the sky with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it would be interesting if the, you know, the moon-sized object moves in and says, hello, how are you people doing there?
Did you see George Filer? He has that Filer's Files, and last, on his most recent one, there's, I didn't have the link before, but it's a live link to the International Space Station, and it looked like some big fish just parked next to the space station. And according to him, I didn't see it, but according to him, the NASA or whoever just turned the dial down, and all of a sudden the video turned gray or blue and then went blank. But it looked like a big fish up there. You could see the eye and the shape of a fish. I mean, it certainly didn't look like a spacecraft just docked with the space station, but it looked like some alien ship just docked with the space station. I mean, were they inside having a meeting at the time? It's, you know, I wish Sharon could say, oh, you people on Earth just don't get the broadcast that you should, so we're going to start broadcasting the truth. That would be great to get a broadcast from Sharon. I mean, it's nice that Sharon comes on with you, but maybe they could pick that up a bit and start broadcasting some truth that could be seen here on Earth. And be nice if we knew it was coming from him rather than some station on Earth somewhere.
Yeah. Well, one of the things was that these Destiny Guardians do kind of broadcast, in a sense, and then demonstration of their celebration, when you might say a celebration, I guess you could call it a celebration, when I finally said, I got it, you want me to help you. And that's when I said, I can only help you in what I can do, but I expect, you know, your help in return, and to, you know, do what they need to do or what they wanted me to help with. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, if they broadcast through these kinds of medias and things like that, it's so easy to take it and say it was dubbed and it's not real, it's a technological gimmick, like Photoshop or some other type of computer-generated manipulative thing that is used by, you know, some organization. Instead, they use their higher technologies, which he did speak about, which has a lot to do with how the information is being translated, and that they chose to use a willing individual who is functional using the life program design, the life matrix, the life machine, my own body, my own voice, mind, as an instrument of that message, which they will or allow to be spread through the most natural of all forms, rather than them maneuvering to our instrumentation, like radio system, telecommunications that we use, or IP format on the internet, or whatever. You know, so this is what happened, and this is what is actually happening. So you might be wanting it to be done your way, but they're doing it the way that they have to do it, apparently.
Yeah, I called George Filer. He was down in Key West, or near Key West, and for the winter, and I asked him about that. It looked like a fish docked next to the International Space Station. He said, oh, he doesn't know. He even said possible UFO. I said, but somebody could have just posted it or just done it on Photoshop and stuck it in there and made it look like it. But I didn't see the feed coming from NASA. But, you know, visual things, real things to us really matter. We're visual people. I mean, some people see their ships and some people see some of the signs. But it sure would be nice if they could turn the thinking of the people of this planet around, or get away from the evil forces of this planet. I know Lucifer has many, many, many arms that reach in many different directions. But there's a lot more little people here, little people like us that don't have powers that can move mountains like people of politics. But it'd be nice if the public could see this more than just, everybody I show, no one's ever seen it. No one said, oh yeah, I've seen that. I saw that on the news. Or
yeah.
They're not showing that on the news.
Well, it's, yeah.
Because the powers that be block all things like that. There's some things in the news that are just not allowed to be said or shown. No matter what, they don't show anything. And if you look at the 1958 paper when they formed NASA, there's a spot in there. I think I still have it on the NASA page. I'm sure I do. It's there's a spot in there. It's called National Security, that they can keep everything from us. Well,
oh yeah, that's right.
Adults. We can handle it.
No, but it's national security is to keep themselves in a position of
power.
Organization.
Organization, but if the cat was out of the bag, that we're not the only ones, that there it is, right out there near Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed people Saturday afternoon, I had my iPad with me, and look at this. This is the Cassini took this architectural world just moving through the rings. You can see the wake in the rings. And this is not in, this may be in an orbit, but it also can move around on its own ability, or you wouldn't see that going through the rings. It's just, I guess I could just use the word frustrating to say that, here, you know, what's the big secret? Why keep it a secret? And I know I have many reasons why they keep it a secret. So they keep us dumb. I mean, they sure wouldn't want to let us know that the sun is not a big fireball in the sky. It's a big oscillator. I don't know if I said this to you or said this to the listeners, but Marcy and I use wood stoves. And I said to Marcy, could you imagine, how long would it burn until it burns out? Well, the sun, if it was a big fireball, it should have just burned up long time ago. I mean, it doesn't have unlimited fuel. But Tesla said it was an oscillator. And it's terrible that our public education is to keep the education for the public. It's not the real education. And it's just sad that the powers that be aren't more intelligent for the better of the people of this planet. It's all the better of them. And we need someone like Sharon and these beings out near Saturn they're out there. They can see it with a telescope, and they've sent, probably the Vatican sent that Cassini spacecraft out there. But they wanted to get a good look at it, and as soon as it arrived, they took those pictures or images. They snapped those images, sent them back to Earth. It had just arrived there in May, and they had to look around for that object, and there it was. They knew where to look. Saturn's huge. If they didn't know where to look, they could have never found it just by pointing a camera around. Are they on this side or the other side? But Sharon, they knew they were pointing that camera at them, and they lifted their cap or put out some other energy, and
yeah.
Wow, what is this? It certainly isn't round anymore.
Yeah.
What caused that?
I mean, the technology is just hugely different, advanced beyond imagining, you know. But the level in which we're discovering and looking at all these other objects and things that are moving about, observable, as well as some of it is actually climactic, or weather phenomenon, things like that, give indication that there are some perturbers that are moving in and about our solar system, changing the behavior of our system, planetary system. It's not the same old place anymore.
What, our solar system is not the same old place?
Yeah, it's not. Apparently it's being maybe upgraded.
Well, we are, I'll just use the excuse that we are an impatient group of people, that we hear something great's going to happen and we're looking forward to it.
Well, it's good to look forward to it.
And it's good to look forward that it's going to happen in this lifetime of ours. But it would be nice to clear up the pineal gland of these people that are still in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many people are just in the dark about the reality of everything. Maybe we know too much. Maybe it's better to be in the dark than you can live in La La Land or Fairyland. But we are a living being person on this planet, and we have a mind of our own, and everybody's mind is different, and we are all individuals, and we are creative individuals, but the powers that be don't allow that creativity. I was listening to, I know all about Royal Rife, but I just heard an amazing, haven't even heard the whole thing, it was an interview. It was, and they just keep this technology from us. I mean, our own technology. We try to advance ourselves, and the powers that be do not let us advance. They want to keep us back, because if we ever advanced, we could advance more than them, and we would be more powerful than they are. So they.
Oh yeah, that's always been a fear of all societies, but it inevitably turns. Things change.
Well, there's a lot more sightings since 1947. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go back into the Bible. You can read. You probably know where all the spots are in the Bible when they refer to celestial beings teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Wendy, too. I'm a little impatient. I want to see some positive things happen. And there's just so much negative in this planet. I mean, now there's... I mean, did you hear that a... Okay, this is a little politics, but there was a policeman on the island of Iceland that shot a civilian and killed him. And that was the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the USA, they even gave those policemen those little taser guns that shoot a little dart with a little wire and gives someone a shock. Well, that kills people too.
Mm-hmm.
And now the police have killed more people than in the Iraqi war. So the war in this country is going on more than the war over there. But because of fluoride, the people just have their brains shielded, and just they need to open their eyes. And that Infowars.com has they're speaking the truth and reading articles, trying to wake people up. And I know you are trying to wake people up, and so is Sharon, but we would like to clean up the water, clean up our pineal glands. We are creative people, and just let us be creative. Don't hold us back. The powers that be hold us back. And if Sharon could just stop those people holding us back, we could grow so much better, so much faster.
That's what you think.
Is that what I think?
That's what you think. But maybe that it's not as simple as that.
Well, it is pretty simple.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Sometimes it seems simple.
Well. No.
But it's an important thing first to observe and diagnose. Then the fix can come through when it's well understood what is actually going wrong. It's like medicine has, gone wrong in the sense that they cure the symptom, not the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that if they play down the symptom, then you kind of fixed it. But really, there's more to it, And if you finally cure the cause, the symptom goes away. But if you cover the symptom, then and not cure the problem, it will inevitably resurface somehow.
They don't even want to cure the problem. Now let's say there's polio or whatever. Let's say someone has a disease and pharmaceutical industry. Oh, here's a pill. Oh, you have to take 5 of them. You have to take 10 of them. Whatever. This will cure you. We don't have any pills that cure us. They don't want to cure anything because if they cured it, they wouldn't be selling any more pills. So they just want to mask over everything. So they're really not curing anything anymore. We're just stuck in. We all have to take care of ourselves. And
had this one guy come up in a conversation. He said, "Oh, this moaning and groaning about, I got this darn diabetes, that come in and I says, what kind of diabetes? Oh, the type 2 kind, whatever. And I says, you can cure type 2 diabetes with just honey and cinnamon? And he says, what? The doctor got me on this pill thing and I don't like taking it. And, there are different side effects to a lot of the different kinds of medication that modern medicine has. But that there's so many people who have overcome type 2 diabetes by using something as simple as one of the most perfect foods made by the honeybees, the honey, and in combination with cinnamon on a regular basis, which teaches the body how to use sugars instead of using high fructose corn syrup, which the body doesn't have any idea what it is. And as a result, it tries to throw a lot of insulin at it, and nothing seems to happen except you get fat, and then they end up getting type 2 diabetes. And the next thing you don't know what's happening, because that's another way that people are getting poisoned. And then, the natural ways, the honey is a sugar, but it's very special. It's kind of pre-digested a little bit by the bees themselves. And your body just, I know what that is. It's sugar. And then in combination with the cinnamon, which helps open up the insulin receptors so that your body now knows how to regulate itself. And pretty soon it says, we don't have to produce so much of this insulin stuff because your body just regulates right back down. And, little mitochondria in your cell are like shuffling all that glucose and back and forth and doing a great job. And you got all this energy back. And busy as a bee again. So that's sort of like reteaching your body how to get out of its confusion, which type 2 diabetes really is. They call it insulin resistiveness, but it's your body forgetting how to use insulin, you know, and bringing back an old memory, you know, of how to function. You know, there were other things that made people go diabetic, which was monosodium glutamate. Now I notice this diglutamate something and all these other things that are trying to mimic what monosodium glutamate did in terms of, you know, you can't eat just one, you know, of this particular item, you know. So they can sell a lot more of them. They give you this, they block the receptor for, you know, knowing when to stop eating. Mm-hmm. You know, and as a result, you know, you can't eat just one. But anyway, that's all different poisons that are being thrown at us. But interesting, he came right back and he says, "What is that again? What is that? Honey and and cinnamon?" I said, "Yep, honey and cinnamon." "Whoa." And I told him, "Yeah, you know how they discovered that honey and cinnamon work great for type was that they were doing some things about people who seem to eat a lot of apple pie. And this should be getting pretty, you know, having what they call sugar diabetes because of that. They never seem to get it. One of the key ingredients in apple pie is cinnamon." And just, it kind of, and of course, that never made it into the, you know, health, I mean, you know, professional community because it's what? Anybody can get cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly could use some help on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, the confusion is a dangerous part right now. It's almost like, you know, the fuse is lit and it's burning toward it. The dynamite's only going to explode pretty soon. Really, what would you do? You teach people not how to use dynamite or just put the fuse out? I think they're looking toward putting that fuse out.
Well, Tesla said we shouldn't split the atom.
Mm-hmm.
And also showed us how to get free electricity, but they don't want us to have that. They don't want us to have anything for free, because our lives would just be so much better. Then we wouldn't be breathing that pollution from that internal combustion engine. But, yeah, there's...
I don't breathe any of that anymore. I got an electric car.
You have an electric car.
Yeah, it gets from energy that we get off the grid actually is energy that's been generated right off wind and solar.
Yeah, well, I went to a car show last Wednesday. A friend asked me to go, and the Tesla electric car was in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to the fellas, and all of a sudden I realize, oh my gosh, you mean this is one of the cars that just drove across the country? They have Tesla has charging stations all from L.A. to New York. And if you have a Tesla car, you can pull into one of those stations and charge up for free.
Mm-hmm.
And but did it make the news media? Did the news media report, "Hey, the Guinness Book of World Records, 67 hours and 5 minutes"?
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't want to advertise that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the old days, we need to end this. But in the old days, women liked electric cars because they didn't smell, And in the old days, the carburetors weren't as sophisticated as they are now, so the mixture of gas and oil, or gas and air, didn't. And then when I went to Hong Kong, I saw what it was like to not have the catalytic converter anymore. Oh my gosh, the stink over there. I remember that smell from cars. And then the mufflers in the old days weren't very good, so they were noisy. So women didn't like cars because you had to crank them. They were noisy. They needed maintenance. And they smelled terrible. Electric cars, no smell. And we can get electricity from the earth for free. It's just, it's there in abundant, overabundance, all we need.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on it. We just have to not stop these people who have these answers to make it better for humans. That's what I'd like Sharon and the Sharons to do. Stop this evilness that is holding us back. We don't need to be rescued. We need to just be, and we need to tell the world that we're not the only ones in the universe. I think people love thinking that they're the only ones. There's no aliens out there, but they're here. Well, we've been going along a little further than normal, but we'll love having you on, Sharon, and love having you on, Michael. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to you next week. And some people send in some comments, like Wendy sent in. That got us going, didn't it? All right, Michael.
Yeah, that was Ted, yeah. Ted Kissel.
Oh, well, Ted. We didn't get the Teds. Ted?
Oh, no, I mean, Sharon was his nickname.
His nickname was Ted. Well,
yeah.
Ted sent us this comment and wanted us to elaborate on the holographic universe.
It's part of the explanation on holographic universe governance that Sharon was touching on.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see that video. Yeah. I will post it on the listen page.
Okay.
And we'll talk with you again, Michael.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.